I want to thank everybody for being here tonight, and it's very good to see everyone tonight. I wanted to talk about a very specific topic with a very narrow focus, so the lesson should go rather quickly. But let me tell you what my outcome is for tonight so that you and I can kind of work together on it. And if we can accomplish this, then it's going to be a pretty fun short journey we're going to take tonight. My outcome for tonight is to take the word tolerance, which is a word that has come to mean something different in our culture today, and to give that word back to us as Christians. And what I mean by that, rather than just being some statement, is make it a word that is empowering to you as a Christian rather than disempowering. So in order to do that, we need to go back to the beginning here, good old Merriam-Webster's dictionary, and look and see what the word means. The word tolerance, it means capacity to endure pain or hardship, endurance, fortitude, stamina, sympathy, or indulgence for beliefs or practices differing from or conflicting with one's own. Now, if you look at this definition, there's nothing inherently wrong with it, right? Because it doesn't say here that you do indulge. It's sympathy or indulgence for a certain type of belief. So there's really nothing inherently wrong with Webster's version of the word. The problem is that Satan's got a tool belt, right? And he's got a lot of tools on his tool belt, and many of those things are things that are very intelligent tools that he uses to distort what God's word says. And so Satan has this word, and it's called tolerance, and this is one of his tools. And I got to tell you, by my estimation at my age, just in my lifetime, I have seen that he has made this his tool very well. And so again, what I would like us to do tonight together is to take this word back. And I think if we look at some scripture, we can very easily do that. This is Satan's definition of the word. This is why it's his tool. To convey love, support, and open-mindedness through expressing an encouraging attitude towards beliefs or practices that differ from biblically based ones. And I just took what I think most people around me believe tolerance to be and kind of filled in my own definition there. But if you look at kind of the opposite of this, basically what this is saying is that if you don't take an encouraging attitude towards things that aren't correct or aren't scripturally right, then basically you hate, you don't support, and you're uneducated or you're closed-minded. So in order to be tolerant, this is what you have to be. And I got to tell you, it's very effective. The majority of people on issues that we're dealing with today, we are in the minority. And if you look at these issues that we deal with today and you take a stance, well, we're told we're not this, because this is Satan's definition of the word. So this lesson has been a very cool journey for me. It's been a cool journey for me because going through it, I wanted to know what the Bible really said about tolerance, and I really learned something, which when you're giving a lesson, you know, hopefully you learn something, right? But I learned that there is a word that I have been using, and it's a very scriptural word. It's used a lot, and I've known most of my life that I really didn't know the definition of. And so my hope tonight is that this aha moment that I had with this word, that some of you will have the same moment. Some of you already really understand what this word means, but the word is zealousness. Now, the word zealous to me always meant energy. Like, to be zealous is kind of energy. You can use the two words synonymously. So this is what the Bible says zealousness is. This is in not only in the Bible, not only in Vine's Expository Dictionary, but it's also Merriam-Webster. It's marked by fervent partisanship for a person, a cause, or an ideal. A person who is an uncompromising partisan. Okay, so it doesn't just mean that you're an excited person or you have a lot of energy. It means that you're partisan. And you hear the word whenever you talk about politicians and how a politician is bipartisan. You know, that means that they can get things done on the Republican side or the Democratic side. They can go to both sides and they can get things done. And so what being partisan means is that you're on one side of the fence. And what zealousness means is that you're on one side of the fence and you're energetic about being on that side of the fence. And I thought, man, that is the opposite of Satan's definition of tolerance. How cool is that? To be zealous is the opposite of that. If everybody will turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3, we'll look at that here in a moment. While you're turning there, I looked up a couple scriptures that talk about zealousness. One is Titus chapter 2, verses 14, which I'll read really quickly here. Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. So these are people who were excited and who were on God's. They knew which side of the fence they were on, and they wanted to do good deeds. In 1 Peter chapter 3, I'm going to read, this isn't really our text, so bear with me, but I'm going to read something from the New American Standard, because something I found is that I normally read out of the NIV, and I think Joe made the same kind of correlation with something else. But this word, zealous, and how it has the idea of being partisan, in the translation, at least in two of the verses that I looked at in the New International Version, they don't translate it quite correctly. It's more talking about encouraging. But it doesn't involve being on God's side, being on that one side, at least to the best that I could see. So this is in the NAS, 1 Peter 3:13. It says, "Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good?" And that word's not used in the NIV. It says, "But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed, and do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled." So we see that zealousness here is really the opposite of what Satan would have us to believe the word tolerance means, which again, Satan's got a lot of tools. That's not even what tolerance means. But the definition we've been taught to believe, zealousness is the opposite, and we see that we're not to live by that kind of tolerance. So now going back to the NIV, we're going to look in verse 15, and you're going to find a really neat correlation between zealousness and what is said next. Let's read it. 1 Peter 3:15. "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence," emphasize those, "and keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame." So here we have zealousness talked about, being on one side of the fence and being energetic about it. And then right after that, we are commanded to be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account. So anytime someone is living in the wrong way, or as a culture we're doing the wrong thing, first we need to be prepared for somebody to come to us. It uses the word defense here. So this is a defensive kind of zealousness. Now this is really interesting, because 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1 says, "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction." So What you're seeing here is you're seeing zealousness practiced defensively, and you're seeing zealousness practiced offensively. You're seeing people who need to be ready to correct others, to rebuke others, and to encourage others. Now, there's a really good point to be made here. And I think this is one place where we can really own a part of tolerance, and that is this, that there's a common denominator between a defensive zealousness in both scriptures and an offensive zealousness. And that common denominator is love. If you look at the first verses we looked at, it manifests itself through saying gentleness and reverence at the end of verse 15 of 1 Peter 3. If you look at what I just read to you at the end of verse 2 in 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says, with great patience and careful instruction. So with any kind of zealousness, there is love. So if that's the case, and culture kind of, makes us feel shaky about talking about certain things and really about being zealous, about being on one side of the fence and being excited about it, about being in Christ and being excited and being able to talk about that, well, how do we make that empowering to be able to be zealous? And this is how you do it. Okay, now, I'm sure you're saying, thank you for the breakthrough thought, right? Get confidence. But what's interesting is it is a breakthrough thought if you're not doing the things that the Scripture tells us to do in order to get this, in order to have confidence. So you can say, this is not a breakthrough thought, but if it hasn't gone from here to here, then it's a breakthrough thought, right? This is knowledge, this is wisdom. So if it hasn't gone from here to here, this is not a breakthrough. Now, how do you get confidence? I think we probably know, but I'm going to have a reminder for all of us here. Look at Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. And we're going to look at a few passages that show us that, you know what? Getting that confidence that we need to be zealous every day, it's really not that difficult. Even though Satan would have us to believe that it is. Many people aren't zealous just because they are afraid. They're not confident in their own abilities. Titus chapter 1, and then starting in verse 8. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. Now, what's interesting about this scripture is it's talking about talking to others about what the Word says, but there's a presupposition here. There's an assumption here. And the assumption is that you already know the Word. That you're going out and you're talking to others about it, and you already know it, right? It says, hold firmly to the trustworthy message that has been taught. It's presupposing you know the trustworthy message. So in order for us to be confident, we have to know the message. Now, okay, so I went from confidence, which is really vague, to know the trustworthy message, which is not nearly as vague. And let's get a little bit deeper into this. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. So, when you look at situations where people are very shaky in what they believe, they do sometimes believe, we sometimes believe, that I don't know the Word very well, I don't know the Bible very well, and then sometimes we also believe that I really can't. Like maybe I don't have the mental horsepower, or it would take a lot of time, there's just no confidence there. So let's look and see what Ephesians chapter 4 verses 14 says, and I'll start this by saying this is leading from verse 13 that's talking about having a knowledge of Christ. It says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every aspect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. So, this is being told to a people who really don't know the word very well, and he likens this to being like an infant. And a wave can just toss you one way or the other. If you get in a conversation with someone and you say, look, I really don't think that's right, and here's what I believe, and they say, well, I think this, and I think this, and I think this, and you're like, whoa, okay, that's a wave, okay, and you're being tossed about by it. What I find really interesting, and I'm finding really interesting in our college group, is that most of these issues that we deal with today, there are numerous scriptures that deal with these issues, and it is not very difficult at all to have a solid understanding of what these things are. God's not the author of confusion, Satan is. So you need to feel empowered. You know, if you've ever not been sure, how do I talk to somebody about these things? It does not take all that much study on a specific subject to really understand that subject and be able to stand up, to be able to be zealous in what it is that you believe. So we do see here that this tool has been a tool of Satan's. And again, at the very beginning, I said I wanted the outcome of this lesson to be for the word of tolerance, to be an empowering word for you, so, and for me. So we see a common denominator in Scripture when it comes to being zealous, and really that's love. And my perception is that culture, whenever they see us not being tolerant, the overlying principle is that we're not showing love. Now, that's not always the case, and if you show love, that doesn't mean that somebody is going to just agree with you, but it's a belief that there is not love there. So we have to own love. And why did I use this rather than it being a great acronym for the word tolerance? To own something means that you go to that place. Something that's really prevalent right now is this debate on homosexuality. And if you say, you know, I love you, but you're sick and you got problems, that's not owning love. This is a person who has a sexual desire that is, according to Scripture, it's an abomination. That doesn't mean they still don't have the desire. You have to love that person. Now, again, you have to love the person, but you have to be zealous, and you have to be ever reproving of any action that is not endorsed by Christ. There's a lot more things besides homosexuality. I'm just using that as the example right now. But we have to really own love, and we have to remember that the reason God says that certain things are sin and certain things are not sin, those things that are sin are things that hurt us, are things that spiritually kill us. We have to approach people from that place. I care about you because I know this to be sin, and I may not even have all the answers as to why living this way is sin, but I don't have to. Because I believe in God's word, and I love you, and I know that this is killing you. In some way, it's a spiritual death. So from this point forward, this is what I would like to ask, and this is what I would hope, and this has been a great time together if this is the case. What I would like to ask is that when you think of the word tolerance in the future, that you think, what this means to me as a Christian is that I need to own love. I need to be loving no matter what sin we're talking about. But I need to be zealous in always, always reproving. Always be ready to say, that's not right, I'm not the judge, but this is what the Bible says. Always own love in doing things, in saying things to people when you know something is not endorsed by Christ. Such an important thing. I go to Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 15. It says, "He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord." He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord. You know, maybe this is something that you're not very confident about. Just a little bit of study. Don't let Satan make you believe that you will never have the tools in your toolkit to be able to be zealous and be able to say, "Look, this is what I believe." If there's anything that anyone here needs tonight in terms of prayers or any other needs that they might have, if anyone would like to be baptized for the remission of your sins, if you have any of those needs, please come forward while we stand and sing.